Hey, Lucinda.
Hi. How's it going?
Going well. Going well. Not too shabby.
So I told you last week that I went to the Works on Paper Gallery.
Oh, yes.
And I saw Jake Weinstein's Clinker. I hope I said his name right. Jake will be one of the last graduates of PAFA. And congratulations to Evan, the gallery owner, and Jake, the artist, as this show is nearly sold out.
Wow.
By the day. Like, recession indicator, what?
Yeah.
But I mean, also think that this is a fantastic show.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Worth trying to get one of those last pieces. I also went to the AIA Awards. That is the American Institute of Architects. The company I work for, actually, we had a PM who was the owner's rep on a few of the winners. So congratulations to all the winners. Did you know that Design Philadelphia, which I think is affiliated with the AIA in one way or another, but they are moving to Hamilton Hall, which is going to be the new Bach building.
Amazing.
Or so I hear.
Yes. It'll be the Avenue of the Arts Bach building.
The Bach building of the Avenue of the Arts.
Yes.
Don't take our branding, guys. And then finally, right before coming to record, I was at the Ballet X subscriber mixer. So good. The one set of tickets that I did not buy for this year is the set at Bryn Mawr, but watching that rehearsal was enough to make me want to
buy
the tickets. You are?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a second ticket?
I can get one.
Okay. Yeah.
Would you like to come with a young friend?
Hey.
Young Xer.
Ouch. Okay, about the mixer, the subscriber mixer that I went to. It was a rehearsal from choreographic fellow Christian Denise, who was chosen out of 80 candidates.
Wow.
The Ballet X team was at work. This was the fourth day of rehearsal, so Christine said that maybe they were feeling a little bit vulnerable, but there was no reason to be vulnerable because this is a team of all-stars. I almost became a donor tonight. Rather, our podcast almost became a donor tonight because
giving out dollars. Oh, gosh.
Making it rain in the Ballet X rehearsal space. Also, did you see Keelan at the Ballet X studios on Sunday Night Football last night?
I heard great things. They were actually at the game, too.
Last night, from my texts, from my husband, 11:15 p.m., Ballet X on SNF, period. This morning, me, 6:06 a.m. What? I missed it. I slept through it. But amazing.
Yes. So great. No, it's so great to see the community partnerships that are going on.
And it just works.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Shall we get to the conversation?
On to the conversation.
It's a good one.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerland.
Hello, hello.
And today, we have Trish and Joe of Third Street Gallery. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, thank you for having us.
We always start with each individual's origin story, kind of their true Hollywood story of how they came to their journey that brought them to art, you know, moments both big and small. Trish, do you want to start?
Probably originally an art appreciator.
Nice.
Yeah, galleries were my thing. Obviously, art museums, things like that. I'm a photographer, but I'm a late bloomer when it comes to that.
Yeah.
My journey as a photographer, I have to say, started in the early aughts in Paris.
Wow. Which sounds
very romantic. We were there in the winter, which is the best time to go to Paris. And I had this dinky little 35 millimeter camera, you know, because I was a tourist. I was going to take tourist shots. And I kept seeing all these beautiful photographs I wanted to take. And this dinky camera was driving me crazy because it wouldn't do it. And I was complaining bitterly about it the whole time. My husband said, enough already, you know. And so he surprised me, actually, that year for our anniversary with an SLR camera. When the developing of those films after a trip to England that summer was over $500, he said, right, I'm getting you a digital.
Right. Yes, you're done with this now.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was the early aughts, and I played and then became more of a serious hobbyist. But as I was approaching retirement, I said, I really want to do this more seriously.
Wow.
So I began to do much more serious reading on photography. I took some classes at what was then the Philadelphia Photo Art Center, which is now Tilt.
Oh.
So I took some classes there, which were really helpful. I belonged to a really good women's group there, and they did a lot of portfolio reviews, which was, I found, extremely educational.
Great. Mm.
And that's how my journey started.
Oh, that's beautiful. How about for yourself, Jeff?
I've been creating since I can remember. I've always been an art kind of person, starting with like crafting as a kid and sort of building up from there. I'm mostly a painter and photographer, like Trish, and I also started with 35 millimeter, although not as early. And it really just created a appreciation for process. So I love process of creating and all the different things that go into it, from the most minute boring parts to the fun, let's pick a color parts. But yeah, I've always been creating, and I always like to try new things, which is to my detriment because I can never focus on what I need to finish.
Yes.
So you'll see me playing in ceramics, even though I'm not good, like, just because I haven't done it. So I'm always constantly looking for what's next.
Oh, wow. Wow. Any formal training yourself?
I went to school for retail and exhibition design because I wasn't sure how the art world would work going into fine arts directly. So no, not formally, but I have taken different classes in that world.
I have to think that the exhibition design helps you think spatially, and that must transfer into the two dimension, right?
I think first in 3D and then in 2D, which I feel like is opposite for some people. Yeah, I'm always thinking of how it relates to the entire space of if it's going to hang on the wall or where it's sort of going to be. So I would say, yeah.
Excellent. Third Street Gallery has exclusively operated as a co-op gallery since its inception in 1978. Can you explain what a co-op gallery is?
Sure. A co-op gallery is a group of artists who run the gallery cooperatively. I'm the director, and I always say to people, don't be impressed. That means the members voted for me to do the admin work. And that's what I do. I'm an equal as everyone else. We do everything on a democratic basis.
Wow.
And we, you know, truly cooperate with one another. The mission of Third Street Gallery from its inception has been to offer a community for the artists as well as a place to exhibit. So having an actual gallery space is really important to us. Mm-hmm. It's also different in that we have 25 owners, and we as a community and committee of the whole jury artists in, or, you know. And one of the things, though, that you get to do at Third Street, unlike a commercial gallery, because a commercial gallery, they're really interested in what they can sell.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we're just interested in what do you do.
Wow.
So a lot of our artists bring in their more experimental works into the gallery.
Oh.
Our artists can show anywhere. I mean, we don't say, you're a member with us and you can't show anywhere.
Yep.
In fact, actually, we celebrate when people have shows elsewhere. But very often they'll say, over there I show my more traditional stuff, and here's where I do my fun stuff.
Oh, you know? That's
how interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a space for experimentation.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot more freedom than there would be in a traditional gallery who's mostly, like Trish was saying, focused on the sales.
Do you speak together about creating a theme or a trend throughout the year or throughout a particular month? Or is it really just this member gets this particular month and they get to bring in whatever they wish?
3 times a year, we have group shows. Oh. In December, we're going to have one of our group shows. In January, we're closed because the poor walls really do need to be looked after. Yes. And it's a dull month anyway. Yeah. And it's too cold to be out.
We've heard that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Actually, a couple of the other co-op galleries and galleries, they take January off.
Yeah.
And it's about spackling and it's about covering some holes in the wall.
Exactly.
And repainting.
And just, yeah, doing general good cleanup.
Yes.
But then the rest of the time, you have 2 artists get an individual show. So if you've ever been to the gallery, when you come in, the first 22 feet on either side are dedicated to individual shows. And it's always amazing how they always look good.
They always sort of work together in
yeah.
a weird way.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes people say, oh, no, I want a show with so-and-so because they think their work works well together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a random draw, but somehow it always works.
It always works, whether it's scale, color.
Yeah.
There's always a nice tie.
Exactly.
Wow.
And then the back of the gallery is always for the members. So our members can literally show 11 months out of the year if they choose to.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, because we do have the members area.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be a thematic story. It's more
right.
just what people want to show in a given time that represents them.
Yeah, so for our group shows, we do come up with a theme / title, and then people bring in what they want anyway.
Yeah, it's a very loose
yes.
theme to just get the ball rolling, really.
Nobody's keeping these artists in boxes, okay?
No way. I will say,
the one theme that we do stick hard to is the Friends show in February,
yeah.
where we ask our members to invite someone, and then we show their works together, and the gallery then becomes a explosion of 50 artists at any given time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's probably the one we stick hard and fast to. But every other one, it's a very loose theme.
Well, and also, we'll have a different title every year for the December show. The other thing we stick hard and fast to is everything that you bring to the gallery has to be, at the absolute most, $500.
Okay.
So it's 500 and under.
For the December show.
So you keep it accessible.
Yeah, for the December. Yeah, to keep it accessible.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing. We like to be an accessible gallery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't want people to think, oh, you're a gallery, you know.
Right.
We try and do a lot of things, including, like, doing silly things in the windows sometimes. I mean, we display art, but
that's great.
We'll do, like, right now, November, it's like a forest floor, and we have these nudes. So it's like nudes in a forest floor. Sometimes you can be just silly.
Yes, yes.
Hey, it draws the people in. It brings mm-hmm. them in.
Yeah, we do a lot of community building within the South Street and Queens Village neighborhood. We try to be part of their festivals and different events, and even bring up events of our own and have them sort of help us out. And we really do like to be part of the community and really be a place where you don't have to buy something. You can come in and just appreciate. We just want people to experience what we have to show.
South Street does what they call the candy crawl, and it's trick-or-treating. Kids go mm-hmm. around the various businesses, and we always participated. And one of our members said, gee, it would be nice if we could keep people in the gallery longer. And then she said, why don't we do a scavenger hunt? And Mary is great. She writes questions and sends them to me. I type them up. I send them to Joe. He puts them on a really good graphic. And in part of our co-op mind, where there's no competition, it's you have fun, you play.
Right.
If you do it, you get a prize.
Oh, that's great.
And Mary does not make it easy, so. I couldn't answer it this year. I couldn't find it.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a hidden baseball. Trish had to help me. It's, yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so this year we had over 70 kids come in and do it. The parents were like, oh, they look forward to this every year.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's fun because it gets the kids looking at art. And
correct.
Yeah, helping that critical eye and looking at the details because Mary finds some weird stuff in this art to find. So, you really have to look and think, which is a great skill to have in art.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to talk about the community canvas?
This year we had the pleasure of having a Temple student reach out to us. Drexel student reach out to us. And they wanted to do their final project on the gallery as part of communications. So we sat with her over the course of a few months, and she, as she did her school project, we were sort of taking her ideas and seeing what we could incorporate in real life, what worked and what maybe wouldn't work for us. And an idea she came up with was to have a community-based event where people would come and create something, and then we would showcase it all together, which then evolved into our community canvas, where we asked people to paint a 6x6 square over the 4th of July weekend, put them all together, and built a big canvas of them.
Wow.
In August, we have a group show as well, and we had a whole big unveiling of the community canvas, and a lot of the people who participated in it came to see it. And it has a permanent home. Kate Allen, who's the president of Queen Village Neighborhood Association, she said to me, so what's going to happen? Is it going to stay up there all the time? And I said, no, we need that space for the artists.
Right, yes. I said, space is limited.
Exactly. Yeah. We'd love to find a permanent home. She says, oh, we'll take it.
Wow.
Where is it?
It's in the Queen Village Neighborhood Association office.
We got a lot of great feedback on it, and it's something we've decided is going to be an annual tradition for us.
That's so great.
We're excited for the next one.
Yeah. I hope that Drexel student got an A.
Yes, she did.
Actually, it's not often you can implement something like that.
Yeah. No, she was really, really wonderful. Yeah. And the other thing, you know, community-wise, is we've had three films done in the gallery.
Oh, wow.
Two by students from Temple. Those were the Temple students. And in fact, the first one was funny. It was a dark comedy. And it was about a gallery that was failing. So he calls in this ringer to give him a good review. And they were apologizing profusely before this because, of course, the guy says, the art's all crap. It's just crap.
No. Oh,
our artists laughed. They thought that was great.
Perfect.
And then third one was by Johnny Baker. It was a short. It was a major scene in the gallery. And he was really, really delightful. All of them were delightful to work with. But just to plug Johnny a little bit, that film won first category at Cannes.
Oh, wow.
And he did not disguise Third Street Gallery. We were like all over that film.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Yeah, so we were very excited about that.
How long have you both been members?
I've been a member since 2020.
I think I've been a member for 4.5 years. Oh, I started July of 21, shortly after moving to the city.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
When the new members juried in and then they have to go through the jurying process because we're jurying in something else, they're like, well, what exactly do you look for? And we said, well, is the art good?
Right.
Is it consistently good? Does it fit with what we do, or does it move us in a new direction? And because of that, we have formally trained artists, and we also have a lot of self-taught artists.
Yeah.
It makes for a dynamic community, but if you come into the gallery, it also makes for a really dynamic space because people approach art from very different perspectives. So, like, we have an artist who's a retired OBGYN, and she's a photographer. And it's interesting, her approach to photography.
Wow.
Versus mine. I'm more interested in the camera. I'll go out and take pictures. And if I have to play with it for more than an hour, I just toss it. She's a surgeon, and she goes in surgically to work on her, to do adjustments. And they're beautiful, you know? But it's just different ways of seeing art and seeing how to do art and different processes that come out of these things.
Do each one of the members have some type of, like, peer review as well with each other?
Because we are a built-in community, a lot of our members are very close friends, and they will work together on different projects or getting their opinions on, oh, I have my show coming up. Mm-hmm. How should I lay out my wall? So we get a lot of that. I don't know about formal peer reviews, but Definitely informally.
It's very informal, but bring in stuff. This is what I'm playing with now. What do you think? Right. You know,
how about the curation of the space once those do go up? Is that more of a cooperative of putting the space together each month, or is it just the artist?
Well, when it comes to the individual show, the artists technically curate their own. Mm-hmm. But as we always say, help is always there.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And some artists have definite ideas of how they want it done. And other artists are like, I need help. Yes. You know?
And I have to think that people outside of the artist looking at it with fresh eyes can bring a perspective that maybe was colored a certain way by the artists themselves prior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we try to make, you know, in the members area, and then, of course, in group shows, as we always say, we try to put your piece to its best advantage. Mm-hmm. So where in the gallery will it look best, and what looks really good around it? Mm-hmm. So that's the big part of the jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, definitely. Which is not easy when you have 100 pieces in a group show and curate. Right.
This is so true.
Do either of you have any current or upcoming projects or exhibitions?
You have a show next year.
Well, that's next year, yeah.
You're already stressed about that.
Well, I've been doing a lot of preliminary work on the Kimmel Center. I've really gravitated into abstract architectural.
Lovely.
And I spent my last two shows were on the Guggenheim in Bilbao. Mm-hmm. It's a Frank Gehry building. Mm-hmm. Totally obsessed with that building. But I've becoming obsessed with the Kimmel Center. So I've been doing a lot of preliminary work on it. And now that it's getting dark earlier, mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get in, because I decided it's really best to do, especially the indoor shots, at night, mm-hmm. because you can get rid of all the stuff that's outside, those glass ceilings. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. If you're in the kind of great space and you look up through the skylight mm-hmm. in just the right way, you can see up into people's apartments in our house. Not that I did that.
Yes. When we have individual artist shows, we do an artist talk, which is just a real nice, friendly conversation.
That's great.
So that's going to be on Sunday.
And then you have a group show starting in December?
Yes.
Yes, the first Friday in December, we have our holiday group show. Everything's under $500, and it's the perfect place to find, I think, anything from $2 to $500.
Yeah. Wow.
And we've started an experiment. We're launching gift cards, e-gift cards. So we had a couple people come in and say, oh, I'd like, but I don't know what their tastes really are, and I know they would like a piece of art.
Yes.
So we said, all right, we'll try it.
That's perfect.
We'll try it. Oh, and and then we do a soft opening on first Fridays, but then we have our opening receptions on Sundays.
Where can the audience find you in real life and online?
Well, at the gallery.
Can you give us the address, please?
610 South 3rd Street. Perfect. We're between South and Bainbridge.
Excellent.
ThirdStreetGallery.com.
Yeah.
And then same thing for the Instagram, at Third Street Gallery.
And I'm going to link all that in the show notes, because it's third with the numeral 3.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's 3RD. Yes. Yep.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We're going to end with a couple rapid-fire questions, as we always do. What is your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
Queen Village.
Nice.
Yeah, I would say the South Street area. Yeah.
Excellent. The Philadelphia art scene in one word.
Dynamic.
Chaotic, but in the best way.
Nice. If you could work in any other medium and achieve the same success you currently have, what would it be?
I've been really into fiber, weaving, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
My work right now, I rip apart photographs and stitch them back together and create these, like, abstract pieces. Right now I'm working with a bunch of models on a new series of them. I think something with textiles I would really love to do.
Very nice.
I think drawing.
Your soundtrack when you work.
I have a horrible taste in music. So my soundtrack is anything from musicals to today's hits to something in the 50s. Like, it's nice. Chaotic.
Yeah.
Any music before 1800.
Wow. Nice. Cheesesteaks with whiz or without?
You know, I grew up in East Germantown. I'm a Philly girl, and I never liked cheesesteaks.
Okay, that's all right.
Provolone all the way.
Nice, okay. A slept-on Philadelphia-based artist that the city needs to know about.
Alyssa DeFranchetti. DeFranchetti. She finished her MFA at PAFA last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's an artist, I think, a Philadelphia-based artist I think people should keep an eye out for.
We'll link her in the show notes.
I cannot think of a single person I've ever met right now, but I think the Philadelphia Sketch Club is a underrepresented but a really cool place with a lot of great artists.
Didn't they just have a gala?
They did over the weekend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take the last one?
Yes, this is one of my favorites, a Lucinda Degerland special, if you will. Set the scene. The PMA is on fire, and you have the superpower to save one piece. Which one are you saving?
All right, I'll give the classic Philly answer, the Calder.
So if you go through the modern wing, it is tucked in the back corner. It is basically a room of scribbles.
We know exactly what you're talking about.
It is my favorite room to sit in the museum, and these canvases
are...
Are you talking about the
dark room?
No. Opposite side.
No.
The tie... tie someone.
Tie... Tombly.
Tombly.
Yes. And it's like all of the Roman and Greek stories told in these beautiful giant canvases.
Yes.
And I think it's one piece. So that whole room...
I love it.
At first I thought you were talking about the... The Duchamp black room that I won't let my sons in.
Oh, yeah. It's a cool room. Unfortunately, not my top piece, but
definitely.
Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
really
for the conversation.
Thank you. It was fun.
Robert, what was the phrase they used? Buy it off the wall, grab it and take it. Grab and dash.
Pay and go.
Pay and go.
Something.
Don't grab and dash.
Yes. In their group show, you're allowed to pay for the art and take the art
that very day,
which is usually not what you're allowed to do, right? Mm-hmm. Usually the show's got to be the show for the length, and then you take the piece afterwards, as we have learned. But there are other circumstances, especially when we were talking to
Natalie Hope McDonald
last week, where she said that someone from New York was in Pye Gallery, loved one of her pieces, wanted to buy it, and then took it that night.
Before we get into this weekend's picks, Robert, can you give us all the deets about the event that you and I are hosting at the Print Center? Let's break this down.
What's the what, Lucinda?
The what is Emerging Collectors Night, where we will hear from the artists themselves about how to care for art and how to form a coherent collection.
It's really an evening of education.
No pressure.
Education and learning from the artists, from the gallerists, on how you can start to build your collection.
Robert, tell us about the when.
The when is going to be December 2nd from 5 to 7.
The where, the Print Center at 1614 Latimer.
Hosted by
ourselves.
Philly Has Heart.
Picks for this weekend and beyond. Do you want to kick us off?
Ensemble Arts Broadway, Back to the Future, is running at the Academy of Music from November 18th through the 30th.
The Philadelphia Chamber Music Society has Nicholas Outsted and Thomas Dunford at the Kimmel Center on November 20th.
Also, on November 20th at 7 p.m., at Muse Gallery, artist Carolyn Harper will be speaking about her textile portraits, the intersection of art and advocacy, and how death by incarceration impacts us all.
This weekend is your last chance to check out Scattering Collecting, a group exhibition curated by Madeline Conover, and Comparisons, a solo exhibition by Virginia Maximowitz, both at Da Vinci Art Alliance, closing on November 23rd.
Pi Gallery presents Tapestries by Nina Hans for the month of November.
The exhibition by Jake Weinstein, Clanker, is ongoing at Works on Paper Gallery.
Under 100, Under 1000, Philadelphia's Magic Gardens inspired works by Philly artists is now open and ongoing at Magic Gardens.
Group show titled Materiality is ongoing at Bridget Meyer Gallery.
The traveling exhibition Dreamworld Surrealism at 100 is ongoing at the PMA. And with that, Philly has heart.
And art. Yellow microphone. Salametis Bay. Green microphone. Konnichiwa. Blue microphone.